Okay, I'm going to try this one. Romans 5. We're going to pick up at verse 6. Yeah. Romans 5, verse 6. Good morning. Let's read that and open in prayer, and then we'll get started. Verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity as we come together to look into your word. We pray for open hearts and minds to receive it. And we thank you in advance for the edification that takes place as we read and believe your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, we missed last week, but want to pick up at verse 6. And it's talking about the love of God. And we commented a little bit about that, but going forward, when you're, I'm going to squeeze these chapters in from chapter 3, where you go from guilty to finding the way to be justified by faith. And you go into 4, where you are, when you find out how to receive the benefits of the propitiation. You know what I mean when I say propitiation?
The satisfying sacrifice.
The satisfying sacrifice. That's great, isn't it? The satisfying sacrifice. But the propitiation is in chapter 3. That is when you, if you're a sinner, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We covered that. And do you know that's, you are an enemy to God. If you are not justified in his sight, you're an enemy.
You're Adam.
All in Adam are what?
Dead.
But enemies. In Ephesians and Colossians, it says that you are enemies. Or Colossians chapter 1. You see, I think we spent, I don't know if you guys were here, but we spent several lessons almost just talking about propitiation. And that's how you have to go over these things, keep them fresh. So if I make a statement 6 weeks later, you're like, oh yeah, propitiation, you won't be like, let's see, what? Satisfying sacrifice. Well, that's just memory. I mean, not saying that you, but you want to know what's involved with that.
Right. How do you define?
That's right. Now, Colossians chapter 1.
Or should I say how God defines it?
Right. You want your definition to line up with his. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross," think about chapter 3, verse 25, "having made peace through the blood of his cross, to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth." I'm sorry, "whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you," and insert your name there, "if you've been reconciled, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." That's what the propitiation does. It takes that animosity that God, really, that you have towards God, and he reciprocates it. Did you know you could be an enemy to God, yet you, there's people that go to church every Sunday?
Yeah, they're enemies of the cross.
No, I mean, you could be an enemy of God going to church Sunday.
I'm talking about what Paul said. They're enemies of the cross.
Do you know that there's people that go to church Sunday and they could be enemies of God and alienated,
yes,
and by their wicked works,
yeah,
in their mind?
Self-righteous.
How could that be?
They're not under the right doctrine. They don't care. They're not studying.
They don't believe.
They've never been saved. They've never been justified. They've never, when I ask you about the propitiation, they've never had the upon all or unto all. They've never trusted him for themselves. They just go. It's just an activity. We're going to church Sunday, Mike. Okay, we pile in the car, we drive over there, we have our activity, and then we go home.
You forget the part where it get really, really dressed up.
put on your good clothes. You see that's religious. But God is after the relationship. And so he that's chapter 2 where the man says, I don't do that. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't chase men. I don't chase women. I'm better than the guy out there. But he's never been saved. He's never been justified. He's never trusted the provision that God has made. He's not in Christ. You know how you get in Christ? By faith. In his death, his burial, his resurrection, his death for you. That's chapter 3. That's the propitiation. Being justified freely by the redemption that's in
Christ Jesus,
God has set forth to be a
propitiation
through faith
in his blood
to declare at this time
his righteousness,
that he might be just and the justifier of him
that believeth in Jesus.
Do you believe it in Jesus?
Yes.
That his righteousness is what satisfies God, and you put your faith in what he has done. And he says, look, this will get you out of trouble. This will get you out of the enemy
camp
into the
believing camp.
Just that simple.
Just so then why live in?
I think somebody
said they go every Sunday.
Well, like, now Jenny, she was ahead of the game. She said the wrong doctrine, wrong message. But it boils down to, if you got to know what to believe in order to. That's why it says unto all and upon all them that believe. Well, that's why Paul says, he says, I'm declaring, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Well, before, the message was, do this. Now the message is, he's done this. He's done this.
Rest in it.
God says, I'm well pleased with what he did, not what you are trying to do. Wrong message. Do you say, why they don't believe it? Wrong message. How many times have you been in a different assembly and I can put the words up there. They've never heard these words. Look, these people, 70, mm-hmm, getting up to 80 years old, and I can put up there the word.
Because all they do is get taught out of the
Gospels. If that.
And I
a lot of churches ask them, social clubs. And
have you ever heard that?
Anecdotes and stuff.
They don't know. That is
validation.
That's the diving board. You know what? That's the springboard into the pool of grace. Mm-hmm. Is propitiation. Everything that God is doing is based on His Son and His accomplishments. If you don't get that,
don't pass go. Don't collect $200.
The pool is dry.
Yep.
You don't have, we just got out of, we're in five, you don't have access into this grace. Where, and I'll say this, where you stand, but you don't have access into this grace wherein you soak. if I can use the pool analogy, is you should be fully whelmed with His grace.
Fully wetted down.
I was thinking of that. I was going to say baptized,
yeah.
but
not that kind.
It should be completely. You should know that it completely covers me. Do you know that?
Yeah.
So when you get there, and I don't know why we were enemies. This is what. When Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, justified by
faith.
All right. Faith comes by
hearing by the word.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing. See, how old are you? 15? 17? See, some of this stuff you should just get by memory. Just by coming, you should remember some of these things. So I don't want them looking like. When I looked at her, I said, faith comes by.
Sometimes it's just the shock when you come.
Okay.
So you
better. Who, me?
Yeah.
Right, me?
Yeah, get nervous.
Well, that's what I like to do because they're here, right? They're here. Being justified by faith, faith comes by.
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God, yes. That goes back to the message. His faith comes by hearing by the word of God. He says, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just getting to that, through our Lord Jesus Christ, you're in Romans, you should automatically default to what? In your mind, what should pop up in your mind? Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In your mind should pop up what? Boop.
Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
You just got out of 3, right?
Well.
Are you telling me how my mind
should... You know what? I was going to say... Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You're right, though. I shouldn't be telling you how your mind should work. I should be telling you through our Lord Jesus Christ means
His propitiation,
His works, His righteousness, His blood.
His
plan.
That's it. It's all about Him.
Whether you in any epistle of Paul,
it's His book.
He declares that. Or any other book.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all, like I'll borrow from Hebrews, he comes in the volume of the book. Whether it's intimated in Genesis or consummated in Revelation, it's still going to be it's Him. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom?
We have now.
By who?
Jesus Christ. The atonement.
We have access in by faith into this grace. That's 5:5-2, Romans 5. I'm sorry. We're just rolling back up here. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. That's the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's given unto us.
That's the earnest of our inheritance.
That's yeah. Let's get back to the love, though. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. He's given you some. If you had peace with God, right? Mm-hmm. When you were enemies and aliens,
strangers.
And the relationship and strangers, and the relationship has changed. Wouldn't you be looking for some evidence that he does love me?
Well, I mean, the cross is
okay. Evidence. You wouldn't be looking for some hard times, would you?
Not tribulation.
If you say God really loves me, and the next thing you know, you get punched in the mouth.
The servant's no greater than the master.
Do you, you know, mm-hmm. you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is, put it this way. Where, right, now you are, I'm using our modern day interpretations, where we feel like this. Once I'm saved, it's smooth sailing. It's all blessings and no curses.
But the more you suffer, the more you can see how gracious he is.
Yeah, see, you can say that now. But when you just get saved, or when you just, like here, that's why Paul's writing it. He says, we glory in tribulations. Knowing, this is he's writing this, but we don't all know that tribulation works patience. Patience experience hope. Because when the hard times show up and you start praying about some things that you want God to deliver you from or out of, and it doesn't happen, you say, wow, I thought, what did I do? What have I done? That he's not coming through. I'm not being delivered. Or why did I have to go through this in the first place? And you might say, I don't think he doesn't love me. Maybe those other people that's driving the big car, Johnny, and got the nice house, I can see that God loves them because look at it.
Yeah.
But me, I just had to borrow to pay my bill. Or I just lost my car. Or members or family members. Oh, why is my baby sick? Oh, why am I sick? Does he really love me? When, and this is all foundational before you get in the game, is, and we used an example last couple of weeks ago, is where Satan was questioning the Lord about the provision that was made, about the provision, I know I spelled that wrong, about protection and the position. Those, you know, when he's in the mountain, and he says, if you be the Son of God, then do this. Or he tries to get the Lord to test the Father's love and care for him. He said, if you jump off the pinnacle that he'll send and your foot won't even hit the ground. Yeah. I don't have to do that to know that my Father loves me. The Lord said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I trust him. I don't have to do this to prove that he loves me. Now, you say, well, so what? How does that fit for me? Same principle as this. When you go through situations, you're going to be wondering about God's provision, protection, and your position with him. Let me come through the back door here. You got kids. If you go to the store and Mia, she's getting ready to go to college, and she says, I want those shoes. And you say, no. Or she might say, well, can you pick me up? It's dark outside and I'm not comfortable walking home. You say no. Or they have a mother-daughter program at school and they want you to show up, support, and you say no. What's her question? What's going to come in her mind?
She loves me.
Does she even care about me or what's going on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't say, just keep going. Don't worry about it. I got you. Mm-hmm. Unless she's fully persuaded, she's not going to get over those hard times, tribulation. She's not going to glory in those situations. Because she's got, you know what? This is big. This is big to me. Did I get in the house? In through the back door? Did that make sense? Okay. So the same way with us is when you start having hard times, the question is going to come in your mind. Why is this not working? For me. That's what it's about, right? You, right? It ain't that. Forget this. It's all about us, you know, individually, what we want, what we need, what we prefer. But Paul says, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope the expectation doesn't make me ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You have to know that what Karen said is this. John, 1 John says this. In this is the love of God manifested. In what? 1 John 4. You say, what you going to 1 John for? This is the principle. Mm-hmm. 1 John 4, 9.
And all the Bible is for us, even if it isn't all to us.
It's for our learning, right? That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, in this, 1 John 4, 9, in this, was manifested the love of God. 1 John 4, 9. Way in the back. In this, 1 John 4, 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Watch the next one, Johnny. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be what? There it is. To be the propitiation for our sins. What is John talking about propitiation for, Mike? Doesn't he know that that's just Paul? No, you know what? They don't get it either without him. Any believer, the way you get accepted is in him. By him and through him. And without him, you're not in. In Christ shall many be made alive. In Adam, all die. All are dead. He sent his son that we might have life in his son. Through his son, by his son. Now, once you trust him, that's why you get the Holy Ghost. As the earnest assurance, evidence that not only that you belong to him, but that you have an inheritance, a home with him. You say, well, how do I know I got the Holy Spirit? I know they tell you you feel it with the evidence of speaking in tongues and do it. You know, I know that. But you know that it's not true, don't you?
No,
you know that. When the last time you felt the Holy Spirit? You understand what I'm saying, all right?
Yeah.
Now, like I said, you hear a whole list of things. Oh, when I cry, when I feel, okay, that's, you better have some information that you're working off of that he said.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's love is not based on your experiences or your feelings, or it's not subjective. It's objective.
His integrity.
That's right.
His word.
So you, if that's the case, you know what? That's why Paul has to remind us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. 5:6. This is how you know. We just read the verse in John. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. See that 4? He said, this is how you know. Because when you were at your worst, ungodly, enemies, alienated, strangers, he says, for scarcely, ungodly, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commendeth his love toward us. In other words, you know, Jesus said demonstrated. That is
proved. Validated.
Validated it. Right. It's do you really wonder if I do or not?
Declared.
And he puts this out, he says, you wanna know how much? And he says, Christ, he has set him forth. He says, how about that? How do I know how much? And you say, how about that? And you can look at his son and you can say,
wow.
He said, not just anybody, but my only begotten son, in whom I'm well pleased. He says, I'll give you him. If you don't think I care, how about this? He set that forth for your consideration. That's what commended. He's, do you approve of this? When Paul said to the Corinthians, when they were comparing Paul with other apostles, he said, I ought to be commended of you. You know what he's saying? You should be recommending me. You should say, we have a great apostle. Look. He said, but you are picking this over me. He said, you ought to be commending me. We don't commend ourselves again. We don't say, look, look at me. Oh, okay. 2 Corinthians. Say it again. Who, Paul? Yeah. Oh, sure, sure. Why did he love them more?
Because God loved them.
Now you're on to something. I said, now you're on to something. 2 Corinthians.
What's precious to God should be precious to us. Mm-hmm.
2
Corinthians what?
2 Corinthians.
It's interesting. He talks about, was it the Galatians where he says, the more I love you, the less you love me?
Mm-hmm. That's Corinthians too. Right, exactly. That's not what I want. 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to use this one, but this is not the one I want. I'll find it. 2 Corinthians 5. He says, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see that? He says, we are going to glory in him. He said, I don't commend myself again. I'm commending. The only reason Paul would boast is because He was presenting them to the Lord. He was recommending them. He was recommending the Lord to them as an apostle. When he magnified his office and he wanted them to recognize his office, that's a great office, isn't it? Mm-hmm. If you are entrusted with introducing a man to the Lord Jesus Christ, is that a great position? Is it? Sure it is. Then he goes on to tell her that we have the ministry of reconciliation. We beseech those people in Christ's stead to be what? Reconciled to God. Those, they're still enemies and aliens, even though the reconciliation is available. Do you know that there's still people that still feel like God is angry? Mm-hmm. At them. Mm-hmm. And punishing them.
This is something in their life. Yeah.
Today.
Because they're based on the wrong premise.
Wrong doctrine.
Wrong doctrine.
And guess what? They're the reason they give?
Out of fear.
Out of fear. The reason they serve? It's out of fear. The reason they don't want to skip?
Because that might be the day the Lord comes back and won't find them in church.
or you know, if something goes wrong, they say, I knew I missed my tie, Johnny. Mm-hmm. And I knew it. I
He's
knew that's...
take it out of me one way or the other.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can put it in the plate.
Okay, what gets you out of that fear?
Truth.
Look, and he goes on, this same verse, 2 Corinthians 5, he says, let's see. To wit, verse 19. To wit. You know what that means? To wit.
Because
or because of.
To wit. To know.
To know.
To know. Now, you may not have known before we read this, but now you're going to know.
Now you've got excuse.
To know. To wit. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Semicolon. That means stop and take a breath. Do you know that God was in Christ not committing trespasses unto them? But he was what?
Reconciling
the world to himself. Now, Peter didn't know this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they didn't know this. Paul is writing you, that's why he's looking. I want you to know the stuff you saw back there, the stuff you read about in the Gospels, the stuff they tell you, let's go to the Gospels, we'll see how great the Lord was, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead. Yeah. But Paul says, I'm not talking about that. Do you want to know what he was really doing?
Why he did all that?
He didn't say to wit that God was in Christ casting out devils. To wit, that God was in Christ healing the sick. He didn't say that, did he? But he did those things, didn't he?
Yeah.
Paul said, this is Jesus Christ according to the revelation.
Of the mystery.
Yeah, I want to tell you what was really going on. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, but has committed, and now that it's all done, he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He said, wow. Do you know what? When he finally got done, I tell you what, we still in Romans, propitiation. Remember I said propitiation? When I say propitiation, what animal do you think of?
Lamb.
All right. So when the Lord shows up, Mike, and John says, behold,
the Lamb of God.
That what?
Taketh away the sin of the world.
When he's getting ready to be betrayed, he's sitting there and he says, for a long time I've been waiting, Jenny, to eat this with you. Well, not you, but with you. Long time I've been waiting to eat this. I've been waiting a long time to eat this with you. Do you know what are they eating?
The meal of their redemption.
What's the meal? No, what's the meal? Hamburger?
Lamb.
Steak?
Oh,
Okay, right. He said, okay, now. But I got to eat it now. Because when he goes through and he says, look. He said, except you
eat my flesh
and
drink my blood.
You can't be with me. He says, now once, when I'm up there as the Lamb of God, when that sacrifice is done,
there's no more sacrifice.
When that sacrifice is done, then you can eat. Right?
Yeah.
That's why he can say to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. I asked this question a while ago. I said, do you know how many people died under Jesus Christ's ministry? Let me rephrase that. Do you know how many people he passed judgment on that died in his ministry? Take a guess. How many do you think?
None.
None. Why? Who said none?
Johnny.
Oh, why you say none?
Because they were in him.
No.
You said during his ministry.
Yeah. During the 3+ years that he was on earth, how many did he pronounce judgment and they died? Like Moses, when he said they died without mercy under the 2 or 3 witnesses.
Yeah.
Is that they believed him?
A lot of them didn't believe.
It's because he was the propitiation. He had the power to forgive sin.
Okay. I'll go with that. In the beginning, when John, it said this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only glory of the only begotten
Father.
He says, no man has seen God at any time. I've come to declare him. And he says, and of his goodness we have received. And he said this. And all right. John chapter 1. I'll let you read it. We'll get back to Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Chapter
1. Oh. I don't know, Johnny. I'm about to close out early. Verse 15. John bear witness of him. 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For, let me further explain it. He says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You say, what? Wait a minute. He says, he puts him up against Moses. For the law came by Moses. You know what the law, what when I say law, what do you think of?
Ten.
Do's and don'ts.
Do? What else?
performance.
There you go. There you go. The law? Okay.
Not with the spirit.
So you can get now. When you think of grace and truth, it's going to be the opposite of this, which is
done. Freedom.
How could he come and introduce that? How could, that's why they said, look, he said, this man is telling us we don't have to keep Moses. And he said, no, I'm not saying that. He says, no, nothing will pass from Moses till it be accomplished. It just won't be accomplished by you. He said, I'm the one that's going to do it. It's said by the faith of him, the faithfulness of him. So when he comes full of grace, he said, of his fullness we have received. It's a fullness in Christ. He's full of what?
Grace and faith.
So whatever is in him
is in you.
Not in you, but whatever's in him of his fullness, he said, we have received. Whatever's in him. Huh? You, yeah, it's available. That's what he's given out. Grace and truth. So when he's among them, he can't give out He can't do the same thing that Moses is doing. I'm coming to undo that. When he's in Luke, he's in Luke and he says, he reads, he says, it's my time, I'm paraphrasing this, to deliver the blind, to deliver sight to the blind, to set at liberty them to our bruise, to set the captives free. And he said, this day
is this scripture
fulfilled
in your ear.
And he did what?
Closed the book.
He said, no.
No true relation to faith.
He closed the book. In other words, he said,
they sat down.
Who's ready to receive it?
Yeah.
Who's ready to receive of this fullness?
Yeah.
And they looked at him.
Yeah, have ears.
They looked at him. They said,
who
are you? What
is? No, you're like,
what is he talking about?
She's a child.
Yeah.
What an offer. That's why John said this. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But
unto them,
as many as did,
he gave unto them.
As many as did receive him to them.
He gave the power to become the sons of God.
That fullness was able to make them what? Sons. Okay, Romans 5. I'm sorry, we didn't cover what, but maybe this helps. Maybe a little background helps out a little. Does it help? You said no.
I know all these verses, you know, but how do I put it together?
Yeah, that's what we want to do is put it together, so when we hear Paul making statements, you can be on board with him. And when you have to go explain propitiation, see, you can't get to five if you don't have three. A four.
So that's what makes us sons of God, because of grace and truth.
It's because of his fullness. You say grace and truth, but it's because of him. When he comes, you see, when he comes, he's coming to do a job. We just read it. To know that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. They didn't know that. He didn't come down and say, guess what? I'm reconciling the world to myself. He didn't say that, because that wasn't the message. We know that. When he comes, he's coming to set them free. To them, the world was Jerusalem. His people. That's what it said. He came into
his own.
But they didn't know that his own was his own. The world was his own. And without him was not anything made that was made. So their scope was small. Well, that's what Paul can say. Hey, wait a minute. Let me help you out. And he gives you the big picture. So when he comes, I'm quoting this. This is in Hebrews. That's all right. I'm not going to quote this. Hebrews chapter 2. Say it again. Oh no! It's there. Yeah, it's we'll find it. 2:9. I mean, just for time's sake. But we see Jesus, who was made, Hebrews 2:9, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should do what?
Taste death
for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 14, let's just keep going. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. What's the same? That through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Okay, that was a whole lot. But what I want you to see is this. He took on the body to destroy the works of the devil. That is, you know what, to eliminate all the things that hindered you from worshiping and serving God. Not just them, but us. The world, the flesh, the devil. He says, I'm coming to remove all those obstacles. And you can't say, he doesn't understand, because he was tried in all areas that you would be tried in. In other words, he says, I know, I've been there. And you say, yeah, but he never, yeah, I did. Yeah, but he didn't, yeah, I did. But you never, yeah, I did. But you don't know what it's like? Yes, I do. He comes, he takes care of that, and what he does is you get his righteousness through imputation. You ever heard that word before? Mm-hmm. You ever heard that word before?
Black's Law Dictionary.
You heard that word before? something better than that
one. No, you taught that one, Tom. That's the definition out of Black's Law Dictionary of imputation.
It reinforced this. But that's what he, when he's talking about grace for grace, of fullness, when Paul said this, in him dwelleth all the
fullness.
What does that really mean?
The complete everything.
The complete everything? I know what you're saying.
You've got the person in the Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, but these three are one. Their thought, their plan, their purpose is fully united.
Is it talking about his authority?
The authority? You know what? It's the authority. All attributes in him. That's why he's.
And I think too, when he says the fullness of the Godhead bodily, what he was there doing and accomplishing, there was no deviation amongst the Godhead. It was the fullness of everything.
That's because they're on the same page. They have to be. So when he says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in Philippians, same sense is this. He was already in the form of God.
And thought it not robbery to be.
And what does that mean? He's already in the form of God.
He is God.
He thought it not a robbery to be equal.
Because he had equality.
How about I be equal with myself? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself. He took on the likeness of sinful flesh. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You say, okay, wherefore? Because he did that, God hath also highly exalted him. When?
Resurrection.
And given him
a name.
Well, it's given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, look, How can you give him a name that was already his name? It don't mean name. I mean, you know, it's not like because you've done that, Mike, I'm going to name you Mike. Are you like, what? Okay.
It's a position.
He says, you now.
It's a rank. It's a position. It's a...
That he's, but like Paul would say, now he's the only potentate, King of kings, Lord of lords, unmatched, that in him he would have the preeminence. You know what that means? You know what that means? Preeminence? The top priority in all things.
First.
The first. Number one. He's number one. And he's able to subdue all things under him. He just hadn't done it yet. But he will. In other words, you know what? He's saying, I am right now, I can take this title. I could take that title and it wouldn't be robbery. The only thing left is the possessing. I got the power, I got the plan, I got the people. The only thing left is to do it. And guess what he's doing and going to do? With you and them.
In the meantime, the long-suffering of God is salvation.
You can get in. Like he's coming to his own now.
He hadn't shut the door of the ark yet.
He's coming to his own now, and his own just happens to be us, Gentiles.
No distinction.
Okay. Now, I know that's way off, but it's not really way off. So when you're going through these issues, see, you have to take into account
the bigger
that I think he knows what he's doing. Even if I'm like John, if I'm in jail, like John sent to Jesus and said, look.
Are you in or should we look for another?
Tribulation.
Yeah.
And John's like, he's supposed to be the king. I'm the forerunner. I know it's him. Why am I in jail? And it didn't get better. His head was cut off. So wouldn't that get you to thinking like,
did I miss something?
Is this on the agenda? Just, right, I'm not living my best right.
Yeah, this ain't
you don't think so. You know, just to say this before we close, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, I'm writing these things greatly reminded of thy tears. And he says, be not ashamed of
the Lord, nor me his prisoner.
Be not ashamed, of the Lord, the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Then he goes down in chapter 2 and he says this. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. Well, why would he say to Timothy, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Because according to his gospel, he was raised to be the head of the body. which we're a part.
He's reminding him of what it's all about.
In his suffering.
Which is? Well, let me is this. If I say, when I say seed of David, you know what he was promised, don't you?
Throne.
Say it again.
Throne.
He was. Right? He was promised to reign and rule. And what Timothy he said, oh yeah, I'm all with that part, Paul. He said, well, when's that going to be over? When's the suffering going to be over? That's what I don't like, is the suffering. And he writes to him, he said, before you quit, Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know what he goes through before he says that? He goes through the example of the husbandman.
The
example, right. Of,
the farm.
All those. The labor first, reward later. Labor first, reward later. You know, when Jesus Christ comes first, he didn't just come in and say, look, this is all mine. Let's get on with the show. He had to do this first. Wonder why. Tribulation, work, patience, patient experience. You think when the Lord was on earth that any point in his ministry where he was asking God, how much is enough? You think he ever asked that question? Yeah. You know for sure at one time, don't you? When he was in the garden. Yeah, he's in the garden.
If there's any other way, let this cup pass. But
great drops
of blood.
He said, being in agony. In agony? It's right to, almost to that hour, and he knows what's coming. And the scripture said he was in agony. You ever been in agony?
Not like that.
We don't even know what agony is, do you? We don't even use that word, do we? My agony. I'm in agony.
Yeah, if you like put your pinky toe on the corner or something, that's agony. It might not last that long, but it's agony.
In that moment.
I think it's more than that.
That sounds like a man.
So, but anyway, going forward is the tribulation is, I guess, the part should stick out is this. Despite what it looks like, if you trust the Father and the provision that's already been made, like this is a basketball, this guy, you know what, you have to trust the process. You know, they hire these guys and they're still learning, still training, and they tell them, you know, trust the process. So what God has hired us, in so many words, and he's telling you scripturally, trust the process. Trust the process. If you just stick with me, trust the process, no matter what.
You just go through it.
Like,
you know what's on the other side.
No, not you just go through it.
You know what I mean.
She said, you just go through it. The correct way would be what? We just go through it.
Right.
We meaning
him. He's in you.
We meaning me and the Lord.
Yes.
Like Paul, when he gets to the end of his journey, he said, look.
Lest he show forth the Lord's death until he comes.
He said, everybody's gone.
You let him live your life through.
Mm-hmm.
when Paul gets to the end of his ministry, everybody's gone. He says, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, by me, and strengthened me. You think he was, I don't know if I can make it if Luke ain't here. I don't know if I'm what I'm going to do without Titus. He said, you know, it's okay. It's okay because the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. You know, he's sitting there by himself, and you know, next thing you know, maybe he comes through the wall and he said, hey, it's all good. We're going to be all right.
Okay.
But you know, you don't have, yes, like Johnny now, you don't have that physical manifestation. But it's written down and it's just like it should be.
So did you ever say how you knew? Like you said, it's not like you feel it.
Well, how do you know?
Because he said it.
Mm-hmm. Look, if he said I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption, that he dwells in me, what am I going to say? No, you don't. I got to feel it. I don't feel it. Without the evidence speaking in tongues, I don't know if I really got it.
I can't see it. I don't believe it.
If I can't heal you, Mike, I don't know if I really got the Holy Spirit. You can't do that. That's not how he's operating. He said, look, you have to trust the earnest. If he said that's what it is, that I'm sealed to the day of redemption, it doesn't even matter how I feel about it. You know, I know we're going to stop. A lady told me this from Detroit. She said, I hadn't seen her in a long time. So, I ran into her. I'm like, hey, how you doing? She said, great. I said, where are you attending service at now? She said, well, I'm not a Christian anymore. Mm-hmm. I was like, huh? She's like, no, I don't believe anymore. I'm not a Christian anymore. I'm a Buddhist. I was like, oh, okay.
So she never believed again?
That's if she did.
She
listen. What?
She's sealed either way.
It doesn't matter if she said, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Taoist, I'm a Hinduist, whatever ism-ite she want to be.
As long as she made
that heart transaction to start with, it doesn't matter. You're not going to undo it.
You're going to go into heaven as a
fool. Because it's not based on your behavior.
It's not based on your behavior, your performance. Listen, you can't have a heart transaction with God and he seals the deal and then you come back and say, I changed my mind. But Paul said this. He said, if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. This is a principle. If we
deny him, he'll deny us.
If we believe not,
yet he remaineth faithful, he cannot deny himself.
Look, once it's done.
This verse, people always miss the last part.
If he cannot deny himself.
He's going to deny him.
But
it's not denying
him. They
emphasize
to deny him.
They emphasize it, right.
It's not denying unto salvation. He's speaking
like
to say
you're no longer his.
Right. That's service. It's service. If you deny him
service,
then he'll deny you
service.
The reward.
Yeah, exactly. The reward Listen, this comment, yeah, we got to stop. If you.
And here's the thing. If you're in this word, there's no way you're going to be denied.
If
Because the whole point of judgment seat to see your level that you're equipped for. So if you're denying him, you can't be in this order and deny him.
That's, well, I don't know about that. But
well, you know what I mean.
As a believer, yeah.
We're going to stop at 8. We'll pick up at verse 8 again. Probably back at 6 again, but so let's stop there. Father, we thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So why do they say that?